time for thought-provoking conversation.
It's the Lisa Wexler Show.
Time to turn on your brain and get the real scoop on today's topics and events.
Now,
here's Lisa Wexler.
And 6 minutes after 4 o'clock, welcome. Hi, it's a Thursday. It's not a Thursday, it's a Monday. What is wrong with me half the time? Josh looks up, he goes, who is she? What's happening here today? I'm not sure. 203-661-5051 is our number. I know that to be true. I had some weekend, can I tell you? First of all, I wasn't here on Friday because I braved the arduous Friday traffic and I went to the Hamptons to see my sister Jill because this Saturday was the 6th luxury luncheon for Jill Zarin, but this year it was also in honor of Bobby because the last 5 years it was Jill and Bobby doing it together, although it was Jill Zarin's always luxury luncheon, but Bobby was right by her side. He never missed an event. And he passed away on January 13th of this year, 2018, and Jill threw the party in his honor. But I had a wedding to go to on Saturday, which I'm going to tell you about, and it was an important wedding, and so I wish I could have been in two places at one time. But I can't, and I couldn't. So first, I drove out to the Hamptons and got there around 3 o'clock in the afternoon and spent some time with my sister. She rented a house this year in the Hamptons, only a few minutes away from the Topping Rose Hotel, which is where the event was. And the house had the pool and the tennis court. It was deep in the woods, lots of raspberry picking. Hung around there a little bit, and we had a delicious dinner. Some friends came by. Some of Jill's pals were there. We had dinner with Dina Lohan and some others, some friends of Jill's that are good friends of Jill's, and that came by for dinner. So I got to be with my sister. We hung out together. We had fun. And then she went back to the hotel because she had a room there for the evening. I got to bed, and at 6:30 in the morning, I drove back to Westport because I had a beautiful wedding to attend at 2 o'clock that afternoon. And, of course, I had my hair done and blah, 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 blah. Had to go to the vault, get the family jewels. Kidding, but not really. And I wanted to wear my pearls. So anyway, the wedding was at the Wilton Congregational Church in Wilton, which is beautiful. I don't know if every congregational church is the same pattern, but I've been to two, one in Weston, now this one in Wilton, and they look the same on the inside. I don't know if it's because of when they were built, or you tell me it's a reflection of a typical architecture for congregational churches. But inside, you have the pews with an aisle, and then there's a balcony effect. Really pretty, very spare, very simple balcony effect, and the organ plays from the balcony, but you can see it, and that's where a lot of other people sit when the church is full. So we had the service, and then the service was over by 3:30-ish, and the party was at 6 that evening. The party was at Le Chateau. I haven't been to Le Chateau, maybe ever. Probably passed by it a million thousand times. It's right on the border of Ridgefield and South Salem. And what a magnificent place. Le Chateau was built, get this, this is the apocryphal story. It was originally owned, J.P. Morgan had all this land, and he loved his pastor. And his pastor was ready to retire from the city and wanted a place to live in the country. So J.P. Morgan built for his pastor this unbelievable castle mansion nestled in this gorgeous scenery in the middle of South Salem, and it exists to this day. They did a major addition for another ballroom, but what a beautiful place. The food was so outrageously good. I must have had 4 portions of the prime rib during the hors d'oeuvre hour. I couldn't stop myself, and you know what I did? I said, give me the fat, the leavings, because I like the crusty, fatty part, the part that, you know, is supposed to be discarded. That's my fave. So I went back 4 times for the fat on the prime rib. I know it's disgusting, but that's what I eat. Anyway, they had the flatbreads bar. They had the Asian station. They had all the olives and the cheese station. They had my prime rib. I was very happy. Bill had a few passed around hors d'oeuvres. He had little lobster rolls. There was a mushroom risotto. You know what? You couldn't go hungry. But here's the thing. Bill and I have been married, we figured this out, right? 36 years. And every time we come from an affair, and when I say an affair, I mean a party. Every time we come from an affair, we give it a rating. A, B, C, or D, or an F. And sometimes there are pluses or minuses. Do you know this is the first affair that we've been to? We can't even remember when, where each of us gave it an A+. We never give an A+. We are very tough on affairs. We parse it out. The food is a B. The music's a D. How to sit in the bathroom. I went to an affair at the Plaza not too long ago, a wedding. And I had to be in the ladies' room during the entire wedding to get away from the noise. I thought I was going to go deaf and have my head blown open at the same time. But this party, this particular wedding, not only was the music loud but not too loud, you could actually hear each other speak at the table, but it was our very, very good friend's daughter was getting married, and they're Italian and first generation. And they love, and we always play, and we're next door neighbors. So, you know, they're always playing Italian music. Once in a while, we go over there, we're serenading ourselves, we have a great time. Anyway, when they were auditioning for the DJ's father happens to be a world-class Italian tenor. World-class. So, you know, you're sitting, and you're eating your pasta, whatever you're eating, your filet mignon, and all of a sudden, somebody starts to sing. You could hear a pin drop in the room. The guy is like Enrico Caruso. And he's singing O Sole Mio, and he's singing the Song of Sorrento, and then he sings Andrea Bocelli. You know, No Time to Say Goodbye. Da 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 da. Oh, and I'm telling you. And no matter what age you are, it's a wedding. So about a third of the people were in their 20s, and a third was from the groom's side, a third were from the bride's side. So you have all different ages, all different kind of people, all different ethnicities, everything mixed up. It didn't matter. You could hear, I'm telling you, the man took over, and then all of a sudden we were on our feet. Bravo, bravo, ancora, ancora. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable concert in the middle of a wedding. Anyway, it was an A+. A+ food, A+ location, Le Chateau, highly recommend it. And then, of course, the father of the bride made a speech, had me completely choked up. And Bill, my husband, was mentioned in it because he talked about playing wiffle ball in the cul-de-sac when the kids were growing up. And his principessa, his beautiful Jenna. It was so wonderful. And then I also got choked up when the mother chose her mother's son's song, The Groom. And she chose the song, I Will Stand By You. You know that song? It's a beautiful song. And anyway, his father had died. So it really was very full of meaning. I'll stand by you. You know that song? I don't know who originally sung it, but that's the one. So it was a combination of DJ, live extraordinary music, music that wasn't too loud to kick the rest of us out. Beautiful ballroom. I'm telling you, it was an A. And we never have an A. So we wish the couple many, many years of beautiful prosperity and wonderful, healthy things. And then yesterday, so that was Saturday night. And yesterday I got up and I went campaigning. Because even though I'm unchallenged, I feel I must go door to door. I'm compulsive. So I spent 4 hours going door to door yesterday in Weston. And the really interesting thing is, and you tell me, 203-661-5051. Do you know in 4 hours, this is like the third time I've been out really doing a lot of door-to-door, nobody is asking me my political orientation, my political party, not one person. And maybe it's because I'm already holding that office. I don't know. Maybe because I have a nice smile. Maybe because people are past party politics. Maybe they're not past party politics. They don't want to say. But not one person even asked me, which is fine because I don't need to volunteer it. It's immaterial to what I do. 15 minutes after 4 o'clock. However, we are going to have a politician on in just a minute. Dominic Rapini is in the studio with us. He is primarying for the senatorial race in which Chris Murphy is the designated nominee, the incumbent senator on the Democratic line, Chris Murphy. And the person who won the party nomination at the convention is a guy named Matthew Corey. We'll have him on as well. We'll give him an opportunity to speak before the primary, which is on August 14th. Don't forget, Democrat or Republican, unless you're an unaffiliate, you need to come out and vote August 14th because your party has plenty of choices for you. Everybody's primarying everything. August 14th is the date. And on the Republican side, there is a primary for the Senate line that will read Republican in November. Dominic Rapini versus Matthew Corey. Mr. Rapini is in the studio with us, and we're going to have a chance to get to know him coming right up on the Lisa Wexler Show here at 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere. 203-661-5051. If you'd like to ask Mr. Rapini a question, something on your mind about his possible representation of you in the Senate, 203-661-5051.
Good evening. We've got a 43-minute trip here northbound on the Connecticut Turnpike from the state line up to Route 7 in Norwalk, the northbound Merritt Parkway from the state line to Route 7, a 34-minute ride. Questions about youth or high school sports? Positive Coaching Alliance can help. PCA, a national nonprofit organization, develops better athletes, better people through youth and high school sports. Info at positivecoach.org. I'm Jay Trelease in the 1490 WGCH Traffic Center.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Mostly cloudy for tonight. Some fog developing late. Lows in the mid-60s. Tomorrow, limited sunshine and more humid. Isolated afternoon showers, 78 to 83. Occasional rain showers, humid tomorrow night. Lows 70 to 75. And scattered showers and storms arrive by Wednesday. At Connecticut Basement Systems, they're the experts in all things basement-y. Just give them a call at 866-691-8595. I'm meteorologist Ryan Gallagher on 1490 WGCH.
Having a child with a learning disability is not easy. Winston Prep knows that. Until now, when your son or daughter was ready for high school, you've had few choices. Either send him away to boarding school, where he'll get that special attention he needs, or you take a shot at the local public high school, where you'll spend so much time trying to get them to provide enough support. But now there's another option. The Winston Prep School, located right in Norwalk. Winston Prep School is the only day high school for kids with learning disabilities. Actually, they started grade 6 going through grade 12. Every child benefits from the FOCUS program, a daily one-on-one instructional session. Winston's highly trained teachers instruct kids with both language-based and nonverbal learning disabilities. If you're a parent who wakes up every morning and says, "What can I do today to make my kid's life a little better, to increase her chances of success?" then give Winston Prep a call at 203-229-0465. That's 203-229-0465. Or sign up for one of their upcoming open houses. Winston Prep may be the answer you've been looking for.
Forensic Talk with Jim Campbell, announcing a new crime show on Mondays at 6 p.m. on 1490 WGCH. All talk and all crime. The nation's biggest murderers were the go-to source for the Moxley murder and the Skakel appeals, financial crimes on Wall Street, inside the crimes of Russia's Putin and more. The facts, the forensics, the inside stories. From the host of Business Talk with Jim Campbell, it's Forensic Talk with Jim Campbell. All talk and all crime, Mondays at 6 p.m., right after the Lisa Wexler Show on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
What happened today
is what we're talking about now.
It's the Lisa Wexler Show.
Join the conversation by calling 203-661-5051.
And welcome back. It's 19 minutes after 4 o'clock. Lenore Skenazy, the author of Free Range Kids and a founder of an organization by that name, is going to come on at 5:35 this afternoon. We'll talk a little bit about a recent piece over the weekend in the New York Times about the motherhood in the age of fear. It's a conversation we've had often on the Lisa Wexler Show. I'm a big proponent of letting your kids alone, leaving them alone, and allowing them to explore childhood in their own way, including some risk-taking. But we live in an age right now where everyone is so extraordinarily fearful. I fear that we've taken away a lot of what it means to be a child and raise people as competent adults. Joining me in the studio is Dominic Rapini. Dominic, putting aside the fact that I know you're running for Senate, you had something to say on this because you're also a coach.
Well, you know, Lisa and I agree on this. By the way, everything that your philosophy on parenting, that applies to the government too.
Oh yeah? Oh, you think so, huh?
Yeah, we need.
You don't want us to be on a leash either.
Well, I think we need our government to get out of our way. But you know, I've been coaching youth football for 30 years, guys, and I've seen over 30 years in coaching 1,000 young men. I've seen the helicopter parent, and I've seen the parents that are completely hands off. And the kids that are mom or dad is the helicopter parent. Those kids take less risks. They're always looking over their shoulder. They're always seeing who's watching them. And it's very hard for them to get to the level of aggressiveness they need to be in, play a sport, let alone to be aggressive in a way that they need to be successful in life.
Yeah. And I don't know that it's just about aggression, Dominic, that I'm talking about. I'm talking about an inner confidence that comes from falling down and knowing you can get back up, or getting lost and finding where you needed to go.
Or taking risk.
Or taking a risk.
We live in a free market society, which is based
on... Well, we tell ourselves that.
Right. Well, we tell ourselves, but that's based on taking risk. Otherwise, that's one of the great ways in which we get ahead.
That's right. Yeah. So, Dominic, why are you running for Senate? And tell us about yourself. Where'd you come from? Who are you?
Sure. Well, you know, I'll tell you why I'm running. Is we just talked about the thousand young men I've been coaching since 1986 in the New Haven area. And youth football is a big part of my DNA. It's a big part of what...
You know, John Chapin, who's running for Attorney General, is also a youth football guy.
That's right. I have a better winning record than...
Do
than
you?
John. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, I wasn't counting.
No, I count on everybody.
That's what I mean. The coaches know.
No, I'm just teasing John. He was a phenomenal coach by all accounts. But when I look back, I meet these young kids today and I see them, you know, we're still friends. We stay in touch. And I see them increasingly over the last 2 years leaving the state, right? Or they're in jobs which have no real hope or path of growth for them. And they say, Coach, I got to go. I just, you know.
Where are you from, Dominic?
So I'm from New Haven. Town of Hampden's where I was raised.
Okay.
And that's where, and I've coached youth football in that New Haven area. Okay. Today I live in Brantford.
Oh, yeah.
I had to move out of a Democratic town to a Republican town.
That's exactly Bob Stefanski's route, although he was New Haven to Brantford. I don't know that he did Hampden.
Yeah. So it's, so Hampden's it's a blue-collar town, and it's actually a wide-ranging demographic. And it's been my privilege to coach these young families for 30 years because I've actually been able to see, you know, firsthand, you know, the plight of a single mother. Yeah. I mean, so many of my kids come from single parent homes. I see how hard single mothers work.
Was this a volunteer thing for you? Was this what you did for?
Oh, no, this is
volunteer.
Yeah, this is, you know, negotiate during the day and put a whistle on at night for
so,
30 years.
And so that's fantastic. That's extraordinary. And what did you do during the day? How'd you make a living?
So for the last 30 years, I've been in tech. I've been a small business owner.
Okay.
I've been a manufacturing executive. And since 1997, I've worked for Apple in the Consumer Electronics Group.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, I've had a great...
I didn't know Apple gave us jobs here in Connecticut.
They do. I work out of my home. I have a very unique specialty for Apple. I work with major retailers throughout the United States, and my job is to grow that business and everything it takes. And twice in the last 2 decades, I've been Apple's Salesperson of the Year, which I'm very proud of.
You're kidding.
No,
that's huge.
Yeah, I'm very proud of that. And
you know, Apple gets a lot of bad press for how little they pay the frontline people that work in Apple stores.
Yeah, so here today, I'm not in the capacity of an Apple employee, so I'm not authorized to speak on behalf of Apple. But I would say, you know, Apple employs well over 90,000 people.
Yeah.
And they're all pretty happy.
Yeah? Okay, well, that's good. Can I tell you why I'm happy, Salesperson of the Year?
Yeah.
I'm not happy when they went from the Universal Charger, and I thought that was really a ripoff. It wasn't nice.
Yeah. So, you know, so over time, you know, interfaces change because every good technology product is always evolving. So there's always something better, something more efficient, something more simpler, and something that can requires, you know, it doesn't have to be put in one way, it can be put in either way and work. So you're going to see that technology, you know, throughout. So we have to get used to it if we want stuff to get better. If we want things to keep the same, you know, the way they are, then we keep voting for Dan Maloney and the Democrats. But if we want something better, we gotta continuously try different stuff.
I can see why you won the award. Because you didn't directly address my particular complaint, but you sort of said, well, think about it a different way.
Yeah. Well, that is what I have to do.
That is what you have to
do.
And
we all have to do that, right? We have to, if we're going to solve problems, we have to look from different perspectives.
All right. So if you're in the U.S. Senate, Mr. Rapini, and you're representing Connecticut, where do you stand on the issue of abortion?
Wow. We're going right into it.
We are.
So I will tell everybody this. I'm personally pro-life, right? I've in fact, in my lifetime, I've helped, you know, save 3 different abortions and save those off. I would never use taxpayer money to pay for abortions. I would never fund Planned Parenthood. But I will tell you, as a conservative, I believe that a bunch of guys in Washington can't tell a woman what to do with her body either. Because I also believe in personal freedom. And while I hate everything that is involved all the way through the concept of abortion, I won't facilitate it, but I'm not going to – I just don't think we can tell women what to do.
So if you're asked to approve judges, how does that inform your approval of judges?
It doesn't. I'm going to approve judges based on their ability to be an originalist and to be able to interpret the Constitution. That's their job. I'm not going to pick them based on some political slant or some opportunity down the line. The judges have to do that themselves.
Okay. And as far as issues about gay marriage goes. I mean, this is what people... I'm going to do the social, then we'll do the fiscal.
That's
but
good.
Let's do the social. Where do you stand on that?
So, you know, I've lived an enlightened life. I have a large amount of my friends are gay and they're in great relationships. I believe in personal freedom again, Lisa. So what does that mean? That means no one should tell anybody, especially the government, who to love, right? Or how to conduct their life. That's a personal choice. That's a personal responsibility. So if that's what makes my friends happy, that's what makes our neighbors happy, then I'm going to support it.
Because there's a state right now, I'm forgetting which one, that ruled, I think it was Kentucky, but I could be wrong, mm-hmm. maybe Tennessee, that said that gay couples could no longer adopt. They would not recognize mm-hmm. gay adoptions. If you were asked to vote on that federally, how would you vote?
I would make sure that every child has a chance for a family. I believe in families, no matter, and I think families are not defined in just one way. We have to have kids in family households. We just saw, you know, I got young people in my family that came from foster homes. Okay. And, you know, the foster homes aren't ideal, but I tell you know, it's better than what? Than being homeless, than being in a group home. So we have to make families work wherever we can, however they look.
We're talking with Dominic Rapini, who's running for Senate. The primary mm-hmm. is August 14th. You need to come out and vote, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, but he's interested in Republicans coming out for the Republican primary.
Every one of you.
203-661-5051. So do you have a family? You've got kids, a wife? Tell us about you.
I do. So I have three children, ages 21, 25, and 26.
Okay.
Then we have two children that came to us from DCF. They were aged out of age 18. They're from the New Haven area. Amanda is 22, and Blake is 25.
Did you adopt them out of foster care, or they stayed with you past foster care?
No, they came to us after the age of 18.
Oh.
So how does
that work? Tell me about that.
It just works. You bring them in, and you take care of them. You teach them how to drive and how to do a checking account.
How did DCF find you to do this?
They didn't. We first found Blake through Pop Warner football. He was one of my players. And in February of his senior year at Hampton High, he had no place to live. The family kicked him out. Right? So we took him in.
And then you and later, your wife are good people.
Yeah, then my wife's a far better person than me.
I had to include her. I know.
Yeah,
she's got to be part of the equation.
Susan is
here,
amazing.
Dominic.
And then Amanda came afterwards. Amanda came to us right after her mother. They never knew their biological mother. And she was about to find her mom. She had just gotten out of prison up in New Hampshire. And her mother, the week that they were going to connect, the mother died of an opioid overdose. Right.
Was the mother in prison or Amanda was in
prison?
No,
no, no. The mother was in prison.
Oh, my.
Amanda's a young lady who was started off in welfare. Then we got her involved with – then she got pregnant and had a baby that we take good care of named Leela. But when she was first born, Amanda was on welfare. Couldn't work. She's a single mother, had an apartment. She couldn't do both. So we got her involved with care for kids, you know, subsidized daycare. And within months, she was off welfare. She was working full-time for an ambulance company. Her child was well taken care of, and Amanda now enjoys the dignity of work.
And tell me about Care for Kids. You said it was subsidized daycare. So if you're a senator, you're going to believe in those subsidies?
Oh, my God. That's one of the reasons I want to run, because Connecticut doesn't have enough money. There's a 5,000 family waiting list right now for Care for Kids here in Connecticut. Part of the money does come from the TANF funds, so I believe in getting more federal funding to take care of this. But I wanted that federal funding to come from our expenditures on welfare. I want to take money from welfare and put it into subsidized daycare as well as vocation. And that's how I think we can repurpose money that's already there, and we can make and get families, get people, young parents to work and take care of their children. So, the kid's not at home with a boyfriend or the grandmother or, somebody who can't really fully watch the kid.
Right.
So Leela's 2 years old now, and she's an amazing young lady. I get
really?
To take her to daycare a few days a week. And
aww.
She spends the weekend with us. My mom works on the
And how's Amanda doing?
She's doing great. You know, she's...
So the daycare time freed up her time to complete an education or get work?
She's back at... she's at Gateway Community College getting an advanced degree. She's working at an ambulance company. She still needs more money every month, but God bless her. She's plugging away, and we help fill in the gaps.
You're a good person, you guys.
Well, this is what you have to do. I believe that you have to treat... This is one of the reasons my principles in football. I believe that everybody, including a U.S. senator, needs to treat all children as if they're their own. Whether they're your biological children or it's a child from New Haven or Stratford, we have to take care of all these kids. Because if we don't take care of these kids, we're going to pay for it later. right? And we won't like the way that money has to be spent when they grow up.
So we're chatting with Dominic Rapini, who's running for U.S. Senate on the Republican line August 14th. So you're running this race. You didn't win the convention, the nominal way do it. Why do you think that was?
Well, I'm a first-time candidate. You know, my opponent has been in Connecticut politics for 6 years. It's done a great job. He's a fine gentleman, Matt Corey. He's ran up in the first district, so he already had a base of support that I didn't have really enough time to catch over. But where I met people, every RTC I went to, every Republican I met, they supported me in this convention. And so I got 40% of the vote, and you know what? That was the goal. You get on the ballot.
Get on the ballot.
That's why they do that. That's why that convention's there.
Right. So you got over the 15%, so you were entitled to be on the ballot for August.
Oh, yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, blew right by it. 40%.
Right. So, all right. And what is your strategy should you prevail against Matt Corey? What's your strategy to prevail against Chris Murphy?
Well, let's talk about the goal, right?
Okay.
The goal, my primary goal is going to be help make that Republican ticket stronger, right? I'm not going to have $8 million like Chris Murphy has, right? I hope to raise maybe $1.5 million. So the first goal is to get a Republican governor elected. And I can do that by making the ticket stronger, you know, by elevating the message to talk about everything from, you know, job creation and technology and 5G networks, and as well as subsidized daycare, and as well as talking about school choice, which our cities desperately need, and focus on New Haven. I believe I can help deliver New Haven in a bigger way than the Republicans have ever had, because that's my center of gravity. So that's the number one thing. The second thing is to hold Chris Murphy accountable all the way through for really accomplishing nothing in his years in the Senate. I mean, while he's been in Washington, his policies have wrecked our economy. He's made a mockery of immigration and our immigration law. And every day he attacks our civil liberties. And he's spending all of his time criticizing and obstructing the president. And meanwhile, the president is doing nothing but winning, right? Winning on GDP, winning on the EU contracts, winning on trade with Mexico, winning with sanctions against Iran. I've already started to crack them up. He's bringing home our heroes from Korea. While Chris Murphy's out there playing checkers, Donald Trump is playing chess. And that's why we need to send more Republicans to D.C. to support that agenda.
We're talking with Dominic Rapini. One of the things that Chris Murphy has distinguished himself nationally is on the issue of gun control, which we know hit Connecticut home particularly poignantly, particularly awfully in the Newtown massacre in 2013. How do you stand on the issue of assault rifles, very specifically, not just gun control in general? Would you be willing to ban assault rifles? AR-15.
No. So I'm not willing to talk about any specific caliber or type of weapon, because when we do that, and that's we're playing the Chris Murphy's hands, which is to distract us from the real solution.
What's the real solution?
The real solution is to keep guns out of the hands of people that shouldn't have them, right? The people who are accumulating throughout their life the red flags that tell us that they are a danger to themselves and to other people. And that's why we need to get to the point where everybody's doing their job. And when we talk about Nicholas Cruz down in Parkland, Florida, you know, who had 39 to 40 red flags and not enough interviews, or the information wasn't collated, wasn't collected.
Nobody cared, Dominic. That poor mother before she died. How many times could she call social welfare and complain and plead that she was in trouble with her son? How many times?
It's a travesty, right? And we see that pattern repeated all over the country. So we need to make our schools safer. You know, Republicans want our schools safe too. Right. But we have to do it not by talking about certain types of weapons, but make sure that people shouldn't have these weapons. They don't get them. And one of the things I'd love to do is work in the Senate to identify through a cross-functional group of educators, law enforcement and medical professionals. I'd love to be able to find a way that we all agree on 10 red flags. Right. And if we identify 10 red flags and we codify it and we say that when these red flags appear, that it's mandatory that there's an interview, you know, of the person who at the center of it. So when they say, for example, I don't know, I want to be a professional, you know, school shooter. Well, that should be an interview, and that red flag needs to become visible throughout a system that's available throughout the state and nationwide.
So then obviously you're in favor of comprehensive background checks, because you can't find a red flag unless you know somebody's background.
Yeah, we need background checks. I mean, we obviously are at the point where we don't want felons to get guns, right? So that requires a background check to do that. And if we are smart about red flags and we do it in a way that, you know, doesn't make law-abiding citizens into criminals, I think we can do both.
Well, the gun shows are roundly criticized because it's a place where people avoid background checks.
Yeah, I hear much to the contrary. I hear that. Yeah, I hear the gun show people have, they don't sell anybody they don't know, right? And those background checks and the people are pre-approved before they make that purchase, or they don't take possession until all the paperwork and all the legal requirements are satisfied. So. Yeah, so we can talk about that, but you know, maybe we got to start talking about what we do with, you know, guns that are printed with a 3D printer. That's probably the biggest.
The FTC just approved, or a judge, somebody just approved last week, blueprints to be readily available for a 3D gun to be printed on a printer. That's a pretty scary phenomenon, Dominic Rapini.
It is scary, although I'll tell you, we're not going to be able to prevent it. 3D printers are going to go down in price like all technology. The blueprints are going to be available on a black market, or they're going to be or above ground, or one way or another. People can the information needed, you know, the CAD imagery is going to be there to people printing guns. Guns on demand is in our future. That's the thing we need to be most scared about. And I don't know how we legislate that, except to make sure that we're always keeping track of those, our red flags. And that's got to be something, you know, that's something we got to be aware of as a society.
203-661-5051. We're chatting with Dominic Rapini. Dominic, thank you for coming by today.
Oh, man, it was a pleasure.
Really nice to see you
again.
And
Lisa, may I ask, you know, for all your listeners who want to hear more about what I'm doing,
go ahead.
It's DominicForSenate.us. I'm very.
How do you spell Dominic?
Dominic, the Italian way, thank you. D-O-M-I-N-I-C, as opposed to the Irish spelling.
What do they spell with a K?
A K and an E.
Okay.
It's alphabet soup of the Irish, you know. So it's Dominic, D-O-M-I-N-I-C, for Senate.us. You'll find me that with the same words on Facebook and Twitter. I'm very active. I'm reaching 20 to 30,000 people a week on social media.
I know. You're very active on social media. You keep popping up on mine.
Absolutely.
Which is good. It means you're doing the right thing.
We're doing everything we can. And of course, you'll be hearing my commercials here on WGCH.
Well, then thank you for supporting the station.
Oh, my pleasure.
We do appreciate it.
Thank you, Greenwich and Fairfield County. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Dominic Rapini on the Lisa Wexler Show is 437. We'll go to traffic and weather, 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Good evening. If you're traveling the northbound Connecticut Turnpike, it's a 39-minute ride down from the state line up to Route 7. We've got delays south on the turnpike from Stamford through Greenwich, and the northbound Merritt Parkway from the state line to Route 7, now a 40-minute ride. Use the power to cure inflammatory bowel diseases and join the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation at Spin 4 Crohn's and Colitis Cures. Get started at spin4.org. I'm Jay Trelease, 1490 Traffic Center.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Considerable cloudiness tonight, some fog developing late, lows 63 to 68. Tomorrow, clouds with limited sunshine, more humid, an isolated shower in the afternoon, highs 78 to 83. Occasional showers, humid tomorrow night, lows in the low 70s. Wednesday, scattered showers and thunderstorms, storms with heavy downpours, highs in the low 80s. More showers and storms, locally heavy rain near 85 Thursday. I'm meteorologist Ryan Gallagher on 1490 WGCH.
At Indian Point, we've helped power Westchester and New York City for about four decades. Recently, as part of an agreement with New York State, we are working toward an early and orderly shutdown of the facility by 2021. Until then, we'll continue safely generating about 25% of the reliable, round-the-clock electricity that powers the city and Westchester, all with virtually no greenhouse gas emissions. Safety is, as it always has been, the top priority for everyone at the plant. We will continue to keep Indian Point fully staffed, and full-time inspectors from the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission will monitor our daily operations. We'll also continue to play an important role in our community as a taxpayer and active participant in local charities. Indian Point Energy Center is still working for you, and it's our honor to continue to serve the people of New York. If you have questions about our ongoing operations, please visit safesecurevital.com.
Be inspired. This is Lisa Wexler. Every Saturday morning at 10, join us for the Accorda Scientific Excellence Award, a special program featuring the kids in our neighborhoods doing independent research in science, technology, engineering, and math. Hear from the students themselves about their discoveries, how music improves memory loss. One student invented a better bicycle. Apply free on Acorda.com, ACORDA.com. Tune in every Saturday morning at 10 here on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
At Parsonage, their philosophy is to assist you in living life your way in a unique home-like setting that values dignity, pride, and independence. If you seek some assistance with daily living, Parsonage Cottage is a senior residence providing an affordable transition between home and nursing care. For many seniors, a little help with meals, housekeeping, and personal services makes the difference between happily living alone or being dependent upon family and friends. Their dedicated staff provides a full spectrum of services and activities to ensure the happiness, comfort, well-being, and independence of every resident. Parsonage Cottage is conveniently located off Exit 4 of I-95 and Exit 31 of the Merritt Parkway at 88 Parsonage Road in Greenwich. They invite you to contact them for a no-obligation tour of the facility. Call Penny Laurie at 203-869-6226. 869-6226. Parsonage, where you live life your way.
The Lisa Wexler Show, on the air every afternoon on AM 1490 WGCH and anytime and anywhere at WGCH.com.
Let's stimulate your brain.
And it's 441, 203-661-5051. 203-661-5051 is our number. So that was fun, wasn't it, Josh, to get to know Dominic Rapini a little bit? That was a nice surprise. We'll get Matt Corey on. We'll get him on ASAP because today is July 30th, which means that the primary is just about 2 weeks away, 2 weeks from tomorrow. And I want to remind you again and again, like a broken record, that you have a lot of choices to make on August 14th. You have choices to make for the what they call the under ticket, like attorney general, treasurer, in some places, secretary of state. You know, those are big items. Of course, lieutenant governor has three people running for the three people on the Republican, two on the Democrat. The Republicans have five people running for the top spot of governor. The Dems have two. I think the Dems have three people vying for attorney general. The Republicans have two. So there's just a lot going on August 14th. Our registrars are very, very busy. It's 443-203-661-5051. Rudy Giuliani, former mayor of New York City, making the national news today in what is described as a startling interview this morning. Do we have it, Josh, on Fox and Friends? All right, let's get it. This is where Donald Trump's lawyer, Rudolph Giuliani, and I know it's really hard to keep track of what it means to be somebody's lawyer, special counsel, special risk counsel, general counsel, White House counsel, counsel, up and out in your noses. But this person, Rudolph Giuliani, is described as Donald Trump's personal attorney, claimed that collusion with Russian election hacking, even if it were shown to be true, would not be a crime. Here we go.
Face, if it was supported, would be an impeachable offense. That would be an article of impeachment, no question about it.
This is very damning for Trump.
There's criminal liability here for the president on the horizon with these claims.
Well,
is that true? A lot of laughter.
Rudy Giuliani, President Trump's attorney, former New York City mayor.
I've been sitting here looking in the federal code trying to find collusion as a crime.
It's not.
Collusion is not a crime. Everything that's been released so far shows the president to be absolutely innocent. He didn't do anything wrong.
Okay. So, really, it's very hard to know what to make of that, except that Rudolph Giuliani previously had said on CNN that there was no collusion with the Russians. Donald Trump has steadfastly said that there was no collusion with the Russians. He keeps calling it a witch hunt. He tweeted there was no collusion, no obstruction. The president did nothing wrong. And although several people have already been charged in special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation, President Trump has not formally been accused of any crime. Nonetheless, you really wouldn't want your own attorney saying that if it were found that you were colluding, it wouldn't be a crime because you've read through the federal statutes. You see, here's the bigger statute. And Rudolph Giuliani knows this only too well. If he were arguing for the other side, he'd pull it right out of his hat. The bigger statute is the big one, the T-R-E-A-S-O-N word that nobody wants to use because you don't throw that word around very lightly, nor should you. But that is the worst thing that anybody can be accused of while working for the federal government. And it has been unthinkable that a president of the United States would ever be accused of such a crime. Because it's the kind of crime that you don't need a statute to call a crime. And colluding with a foreign power in order to win an election for president, in some circles, might be considered to be the definition of treason. The definition of working against one's own country, collaborating with a foreign power who has been identified as an enemy of the state. Russia is hardly a friend of the United States since the end of World War II. Stalin, Russia, the Cold War, Khrushchev, I don't have to remind you, Brezhnev, all of them. Gorbachev was a quick thaw with Boris Yeltsin, then it went right back to Putin. These have not been our friends. Colluding with the Russian state, if it were proven to be true, would be the definition of an impeachable offense. And for Rudolph Giuliani to state otherwise is scary for the rest of us as Americans. I feel like I'm living in Alice in Wonderland. I'm living in the alternate universe of Alice in Wonderland. At 447-203-661-5051. Let's go to weather and traffic. We'll come back. Lots more to talk about today. Lenore Skenazy, one of my favorite people, coming on in the next hour.
Good evening. If you're traveling the northbound Connecticut Turnpike, it's a 39-minute ride down from the state line up to Route 7. We've got delays south on the turnpike from Stamford through Greenwich and the northbound Murrin Parkway from the state line to Route 7, now a 40-minute ride. Use the power to cure inflammatory bowel diseases and join the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation at Spin 4 Crohn's and Colitis Cures. Get started at spin4.org. I'm Jay Trelease, 1490 Traffic Center.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Mostly cloudy for tonight, some fog developing late, lows in the mid-60s. Tomorrow, limited sunshine and more humid. Isolated afternoon showers, 78 to 83. Occasional rain showers, humid tomorrow night, lows 70 to 75. And scattered showers and storms arrive by Wednesday. The Connecticut Basement Systems, they're the experts in all things basement-y. Just give them a call at 866-691-8595. I'm meteorologist Ryan Gallagher on 1490 WGCH.
This is a reminder from the Greenwich Tax Collector Office. The tax for real estate, personal property, and motor vehicles on the 2017 grand list must be paid on or before this Wednesday, August 1st, to avoid interest. Payment made after Wednesday will be subject to interest at the rate of 1.5% per month, or a fraction thereof from the due date of July 1st. Payment made between August 2nd and August 31st will be considered as being overdue for 2 months. The interest will then be 3%. There is no need to visit the tax collector office in Town Hall. Save time and pay online. Go to greenwichct.org. Select the green tax information and online payment box on the lower right side of the page. Payment by electronic fund transfer is the cheapest. Credit card payment is also available. There is a convenience fee for paying online. Other options are send a check by mail postmarked on or before August 1st, or come to the tax collector office on the first floor of Town Hall to pay by check or cash. Window hours are 8:30 to 3:30 Monday through Friday. Any questions, call the tax collector office at 203-622-7891. That's 203-622-7891. Every Tuesday morning at 9, the curtain goes up on Center Stage with Pamela Kuhn, focusing on arts and entertainment. Pamela searches for the artist's creative journey and interviews guests ranging from singers, musicians, dancers, actors, visual artists, and authors. It's the show about the artists and their craft and the personal stories that make up their incredible lives. That's Center Stage every Tuesday morning at 9 on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
You've read the Facebook and Twitter rants from others.
Now get the real scoop on today's hot topics.
It's the Lisa Wexler Show.
T 10 minutes before the hour, 203-661-5051. Over the weekend, Kim Brooks wrote a piece that garnered 825 comments until they closed the comments section online on the New York Times about motherhood in the age of fear. And we're going to talk about that at length in the next hour with Lenore Skenazy, who has actually founded a movement called Free Range Kids, based on her own experiences with young children at the time and writing the book Free Range Kids, and the philosophy of allowing your children in our society that is now permeated by fear to experience some real risk and sense of independence in this world. With independence promotes real self-esteem, not BS self-esteem, the kind of self-esteem that comes from finding yourself lost and then getting found. And we're going to speak with Lenore in the next hour. It's a passionate subject for me. I firmly believe that the parents that are the ones that allow their children to experience failure are the ones whose children grow up able to truly succeed. Because having experienced failure, they know how to be resilient. They know how to pick themselves up, dust themselves off, and start all over again. And it's only those people who inside themselves know how to do that that can really face the challenges of adulthood. It is six. Oh, somebody calling me? Nobody I know, naturally. Why don't I turn my phone off? It's 9 minutes before 5 o'clock, 203-661-5051. You know who's in the news today? Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, I haven't seen RBG yet. Have you seen the documentary? I haven't seen it yet. So here's the problem in my house. We only have one smart TV. And we only have one smart TV on purpose. Because I told you, now that I know that the TVs are watching me, I really don't want to buy any more smart TVs. I don't want to. I'm not going to. But it means I have to schlep down to the den instead of in my own bedroom to watch all the good stuff that's on Netflix. So I never watch any TV anymore anyway. But I hear that RBG is a fantastic movie. And today, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Rudolph Giuliani, Ruth Ginsburg, it's pretty RG. Ruth Bader Ginsburg said that comparing herself to Justice Stevens, John Paul Stevens, who retired at 90, she's 85, and she thinks she has at least another 5 years in her. And I know there are some people in Washington, D.C., who would like to count the days to her retirement a lot quicker than that. But, you know, she's a feisty person. And if she's got 5 years, God bless, really. Seven minutes before 5 o'clock. Attorney General Jeff Sessions announced today that the Department of Justice will form a religious liberty task force designed to ensure the enforcement of President Trump's guidelines. The Hill reports that these guidelines implemented last year aim to protect religious liberty and political speech, which is really fascinating since speech was the big issue that came up over the weekend. The kind of speech that comes in newspapers. Sessions said the task force will ensure that all Justice Department components are upholding that guidance in the cases they bring and defend, the arguments they make in court, the policies and regulations they adopt, and how we conduct our operations. And so that's what he is doing. But in the meantime, after being accused, did you see over the weekend, Les Moonves of CBS was accused of sexual misconduct, of behavior going back to as recently, I believe, as 2006, but way back into the 80s. The claim is that there are apparently six women over the years who have accused Les Moonves of derailing their careers and ruining their careers after they rebuffed his sexual advances. But CBS is not doing much about it. They are sticking by him for now. You know, his wife, Julie Chen, is the host of The Talk. And however, in the big picture, CBS is at play because the largest shareholder of CBS is Viacom. Viacom's controlling shareholder is a woman named Shari Redstone, because Shari Redstone is the daughter of Sumner Redstone, and he is an ailing, infirm man who is still alive, but who, after a series of trusts and probate cases, had to cede the conservatorship, the guardianship, over to his daughter, Shari. Shari Redstone wants CBS sold or the management changed. She has been steadfast about this. She's not happy with the stock price. She wants to jiggle it out and jiggle it up. And so Les Moonves has basically alleged that these are trumped up charges against him in order to weaken the leadership at CBS, in order to get Shari Redstone's goal of the sale of CBS further towards the finish line. All of these machinations are just like a plot of Dallas or Dynasty that Les Moonves was very famous for creating when he was an executive at Laura Marr Productions. Do we remember the theme of Dallas? Da 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 da. My themes are coming back to me today. Most of the time, I can't remember my own name. Da 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 da. At South Fork. Listen, if you were alive in the 80s, you watched Dallas. That's what you did with Larry Hagman and Barbara Bel Geddes. And Victoria Principal and what's his name who played Bobby? Haggerty, I think his last name was. Patrick. Was it Patrick Haggerty? Patrick. Was Bobby's name. Anyway, it was a great, great soap opera sitcom. I mean, not sitcom, soap opera, dramedy. What was it? Bobby who? Patrick Duffy. That was it. Patrick Duffy, yes. Anyway, on the infamous shower scene. But the bottom line is that Les Moonves, he was one of the brilliant production creative geniuses. He didn't write the scripts, but you know, he was at Laura Marr, and from Laura Marr, and that was a huge, huge creator of hits for CBS at that time. Laura Marr also did on Walden Pond, not Walden Pond. What was it called? The Waldens? What was the name of that show? The Waltons. The Waltons, not the Waldens. The Waltons. They used to compete with Little House on the Prairie that was on Channel 4. The Waltons was on Channel 2. And Les Moonves, you know, became one of the highest paid executives in all media for many, many years. We'll have to see whether or not these charges stick in the Me Too movement that is now. But it is against a backdrop of extraordinary corporate intrigue. And you can't underestimate the wealth and the power that resides inside the CBS corporate dynasty. So that rocked a little bit of the world. But another story came out today in the Daily Beast, having to do with lawyers and accusations of sexual misconduct, that apparently top lawyers at elite U.S. law firms are routinely hopping to other high-level law firms without punishment after being accused of sexual misconduct. When making new hires, law firms usually ask about complaints at previous firms, but are rarely said to ask partners for references at their old firm, making vetting the claims of the lawyer impossible and allowing firm hopping to occur. One particular lawyer, Jeffrey Reeves, is reported to have departed his Los Angeles firm last year after he was investigated for forcing a female associate to perform oral sex in his office. He has since been employed at two, quote, boutique law firms. Now that his name is mentioned in the Daily Beast, I'm not sure for how much longer he will be employed. Another lawyer is named, and the bottom line is that women have made formal complaints about some of this behavior, and yet it has not gone with the lawyer who was traveling to another firm. We are coming up on 5 o'clock. I'm Lisa Wexler. We're going to talk about more on this show. We're going to have a chance to catch up with Lenore Scanese, founder of the movement called Free Range Kids. If you're a parent, even a grandparent, you're not going to want to miss this conversation with this very insightful, provocative woman here at 1490 WGCH.
You're listening to the station you grew up with, 1490 WGCH, Greenwich.
Ron, TSA admission. I'm Mike Moss.
After ripping up the Iran nuclear deal, President Trump now says he would meet with the leader of Iran with no preconditions. Here's correspondent Jeff Zeleny.
With the Italian prime minister visiting the White House today, the president did say he would meet with Iran without preconditions in what could be the latest chapter in his ongoing feud with the regime.
I'm ready to meet anytime they want to, and I don't do that from strength or from weakness.
Do you have preconditions for that meeting?
No preconditions, no. They want to meet, I'll meet. Anytime they want.
President also renewed his government shutdown threat if Congress doesn't approve funding for a border wall with Mexico.
I would have no problem doing a shutdown. It's time we had proper border security.
California wildfires continue to threaten lives and destroy homes and land. At least 8 people have died in the 2 biggest wildfires in Northern California. The Transportation Security Administration admits federal air marshals are tracking American citizens not suspected of a crime and not under investigation or on a terror watch list. Correspondent Renee Marsh tells us who is being tracked by the TSA's Quiet Skies program.
They say that the passengers who are tracked are selected based on past travel patterns, like whether they've traveled to terror hotspots. The agency also says that they get a lot of information from the intel community.
The investigation is just getting underway into allegations that CBS chief Les Moonves sexually harassed 6 women.
That committee will then select a law firm to conduct the investigation. What does all that mean? It means we are probably days, if not weeks, away from the conclusion of that investigation and from knowing what Moonves' fate will be at CBS.
Correspondent Dylan Byer says for now, Moonves will remain at CBS pending the outcome of the investigation. On Wall Street, Dow down 144, NASDAQ down 107. I'm Mike Moss.
Walgreens has good news for anyone managing diabetes. We've got your back. That's right. Walgreens pharmacists are here to consult with you in person and answer any questions you may have about new and existing medications. You can even get free advice from our trusted experts day and night at walgreens.com or the mobile app. Walgreens has all major brands of diabetes testing supplies like Accucheck and Walgreens TruMetrics. That's not just good news, it's great news. Stop by and talk to your Walgreens pharmacist today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901.
If you wear a denture, are you sure your breath is clean and fresh? Try Polident. It's specifically designed to clean a denture because it's tough on odor-causing bacteria, but gentle on the denture itself. Polident has a 4-in-1 cleaning system with 4 powerful ingredients that work together to deep clean your denture. It kills 99.99% of odor-causing bacteria in laboratory testing and helps to remove stains. Feel confident and clean every day with Polident. Available at Walmart for a low price every day.
More than $500 million in claims linked to concussions by former NFL players have already been approved under the league settlement.
The original estimates from the league believed a little more than $400 million would be paid out in the first decade. Attorneys for retired players adjusted their estimates on the total payout of expected claims earlier this month, saying they now believe the settlement will reach $1.4 billion. The original agreement was for $1 billion even. Almost 2,000 claims have been filed in less than 2 years, and the claims administrator said more than 7,000 former players had made medical appointments to assess neurological baselines, and more than 6,000 had already gotten those tests done. I'm John Stolness.
Most young Americans have a dim outlook on both the state of the country and the upcoming midterm elections in general, but a poll by the Associated Press shows signs of optimism. A majority think their generation is motivated to make positive change. I'm Mike Moss.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit beefy, or even with type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Affordable term life insurance is out there. Call Term Provider and speak with Big Lou at 800-481-1458. 800-481-1458 or visit BigLou.com. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too.
Amazon has everything for back to school. Zebra lunchbox? Check. Cool Adidas gear, like t-shirts, shoes, and backpacks? Check. Triceratops folders and pencils? Check. Laser cat t-shirts? Check. Get your back to school shopping done now at amazon.com/back to school and enjoy free shipping on millions of items. No need to leave your home or hassle with crowds. Amazon.com. No better place to get everything back to school from A to Z.
Tired of paying out
busy ride northbound on the Connecticut Turnpike. If you're traveling northbound to the state line up to Route 7 in Norwalk, it's up to a 41-minute ride.
Be inspired. This is Lisa Wexler. Every Saturday morning at 10, join us for the Accorda Scientific Excellence Award, a special program featuring the kids in our neighborhoods doing independent research in science, technology, engineering, and math. Hear from the students themselves about their discoveries, how music improves memory loss. One student invented a better bicycle. Apply free on Accorda.com, ACORDA.com. Tune in every Saturday morning at 10 here on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Attorney, advocate, author, public speaker, master communicator.
Lisa Wexler knows a thing or two and isn't afraid to take on today's newsmakers.
So flip that switch and turn on your brain. It's hour two of the Lisa Wexler Show.
And it's 6 minutes after 5 o'clock. Lenore Skenazy joins us at 5:35 to talk about free-range kids and an article that caught my eye in the weekend edition of the New York Times. And what was that article? It was called Motherhood in the Age of Fear. And we are certainly living in that age, are we not? While the statistics about awful things like child abduction and dramatic crime have literally cratered in recent decades, we tend to remember the one or two incidents and, like those starfish on the beach, that's all we can think about. So it has caused us to dramatically change our approach to parenting, to what it means to be a negligent parent, to what it means to be a permissive parent. And we're always in the business of judging each other constantly and forever. But it has dramatically changed the experience of childhood itself, not to mention parenting our own children in the company of our own peers. It's a subject I feel passionately about, and we're going to be speaking, and I know that I go against the grain. I went against the grain as a parent, but not as much as I would have to do today if I had little ones. Lenore Skenazy will be joining us at 5:35 to talk about this. 203-661-5051. I'm Lisa Wexler. Welcome to the show if you're joining us. Hello, hello, and how are you? And how was your weekend? I'm going into Manhattan tonight. I am going to a party that was described as something where I should bring my dancing shoes. Only I don't really, you know, wear my dancing shoes during the day, and I don't really have dancing shoes, just between us. I have some ballroom dancing shoes. But anyway, it's a ladies-only kind of a situation. I'm going to celebrate the birthday of a friend. So I am going to be driving into Manhattan today. Wish me good luck in traffic. Thank you very much. Over the weekend, yesterday, President Donald Trump vented. How does he typically vent altogether now? On Twitter. And he vented because he had had a meeting with the 37-year-old heir to the throne of the New York Times, a gentleman by the name of Arthur Oak Sulzberger, probably the third, the fifth, the seventh, whatever. And each of them had a dramatically different recollection and impression of the meeting. So here is what Donald Trump tweeted. His name is A.G. Sulzberger. A.G. Here's the tweet. Had a very good and interesting meeting at the White House with A.G. Sulzberger, publisher of the New York Times. Spent much time talking about the vast amounts of fake news being put out by the media and how that fake news has morphed into phrase, quote, enemy of the people. Sad! Exclamation point. Continuing, when the media, driven insane by their Trump derangement syndrome, reveals internal deliberations of our government, it truly puts the lives of many, not just journalists, at risk! Exclamation point. Very unpatriotic! Exclamation point. Freedom of the press also comes with a responsibility to report the news accurately. 90% of media coverage of my administration is negative, despite the tremendously positive results we are achieving. It's no surprise that confidence in the media is at an all-time low. I will not allow our great country to be sold out by anti-Trump haters and the dying newspaper industry. No matter how much they try to distract and cover it up, our country is making great progress under my leadership. I will never stop fighting for the American people. As an example, the failing New York Times, dot, dot, dot. Well, after that, A.G. Sulzberger wrote a five-paragraph statement issued by the paper on Sunday. And he said that he accepted the meeting with President Trump to push back on Mr. Trump's, quote, deeply troubling anti-press rhetoric. He said, I told the president directly that I thought his language was not just divisive, but increasingly dangerous. I am far more concerned about his labeling journalists the enemy of the people. I warned that this inflammatory language is contributing to a rise in threats against journalists and will lead to violence. So I'm now going to, as I gave you President Trump's tweets in full, I will now give you the statement of A.G. Sulzberger, publisher of the New York Times, his statement in full. My main purpose for accepting the meeting was to raise concerns about the president's deeply troubling anti-press rhetoric. I told the president directly that I thought his language was not just divisive, but increasingly dangerous. I told him that although the fake news is untrue and harmful, I am far more concerned about his labeling journalists the enemy of the people. I warned that this inflammatory language is contributing to a rise in threats against journalists and will lead to violence. I repeatedly stress that this is particularly true abroad, where the president's rhetoric is being used by some regimes to justify sweeping crackdowns on journalists. I warned that it was putting lives at risk, that it was undermining the democratic ideals of our nation, and that it was eroding one of our country's greatest exports, a commitment to free speech and a free press. Throughout the conversation, I emphasized that if President Trump, like previous presidents, was upset with coverage of his administration, he was, of course, free to tell the world. I made clear repeatedly that I was not asking for him to soften his attacks on the Times if he felt our coverage was unfair. Instead, I implored him to reconsider his broader attacks on journalism, which I believe are dangerous and harmful to our country. And as evidence that what Mr. Sulzberger said was actually true, a study was made in Germany in which there was a lot of anti-press rhetoric. And it turned out that in this study from 2014, in which there were three violent assaults against journalists in Germany, in 2015, it went up to a radical 29 violent assaults against journalists in Germany. And this is because of a political party which grew in power and stood behind verbal attacks on the media, a reporter said, legitimizing violence against journalists. The reporter was referring to the far right, an anti-immigrant Alternative for Germany party, whose leaders have verbally attacked journalists and given out Pinocchio ratings for media representatives that they deem to be especially trustworthy. Germany's far right, which portrayed journalists as liars, served as a key justification for subsequent attacks against journalists. And so when you say that words don't matter in terms of what a president says and leads in his own rhetoric on Twitter, the words do matter. They can matter, and they can have a real life result. The last thing we want in this country ever are to have members of our press attacked for what they are saying and how they are covering our presidency. That would be a death knell for our democracy. And it's so easy. It's so easy for freedom to slip away once it's gone. It's so hard to get it back. 14 minutes after 5 o'clock. 203-661-5051. All right, let's move to some local issues. We have a problem with a dog flu. I was trying to get a vet on the air today. I didn't have a chance to do that, but I think I will. Josh, let's get a vet on the air to talk about this, because this is apparently a real deal. There is a dog flu outbreak that is spreading rapidly, forcing several local boarding facilities to close. Greenwich Free Press reporting that specifically in Stamford, Dr. Philip Putter, owner of Spot On Veterinary Hospital and Hotel in Stamford, said the stories are true, and it's not just illness, He said there are two strains of flu, H3N2 and H3N8, which are confirmed to be spreading rapidly in our local area. The flu outbreak, however, is preventable. There is a vaccination for both flu strains. It apparently originated from New York City. It did come to our area. This vet said 85% of his clients had been vaccinated, but it's new. As of Friday, Putter said Spot On, which is an animal hospital and boarding facility, was the only one of about half a dozen boarding facilities still open and virus-free. Putter says that he had a stringent vaccine requirement and cleaning protocol. CIV, canine influenza, was never here before. There have been outbreaks of distemper and Bordetella that have closed down facilities. This is the first time all the local facilities have had to close. And by the way, we're in vacation season. So think about all the people who had assumed they could board their dogs that can't. They either have to hire dog sitters at home, but that's not always easy to find, or figure out a way to change their own vacation plans. Anyway, this is a big deal. There's a dog flu virus going around. Make sure your dog is either not around other dogs or vaccinated. Speak to your vet about it and be very careful where you board your dog if you're going on vacation, because you want to make sure that that particular facility is flu virus free. And if they won't tell you that it is, you better move on to one that is. Better be real careful with that. It's 16 minutes after 5 o'clock. 203-661-5051. I'm Lisa Wexler.
Good evening. We're looking at a very busy ride northbound on the Connecticut Turnpike. If you're traveling northbound for the state line up to Route 7 in Norwalk, it's up to a 41-minute ride.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Considerable cloudiness tonight. Some fog developing late, lows 63 to 68. Tomorrow, clouds with limited sunshine, more humid. An isolated shower in the afternoon, highs 78 to 83. Occasional showers, humid tomorrow night, lows in the low 70s. Wednesday, scattered showers and thunderstorms, storms with heavy downpours, highs in the low 80s. More showers and storms, locally heavy rain near 85 Thursday. I'm meteorologist Ryan Gallagher on 1490 WGCH.
This is a reminder from the Greenwich Tax Collector Office. The tax for real estate, personal property, and motor vehicles on the 2017 grand list must be paid on or before this Wednesday, August 1st, to avoid interest. Payment made after Wednesday will be subject to interest at the rate of 1.5% per month, or a fraction thereof from the due date of July 1st. Payment made between August 2nd and August 31st will be considered as being overdue for 2 months. The interest will then be 3%. There is no need to visit the tax collector office in Town Hall. Save time and pay online. Go to greenwichct.org. Select the green tax information and online payment box on the lower right side of the page. Payment by electronic fund transfer is the cheapest. Credit card payment is also available. There is a convenience fee for paying online. Other options are send a check by mail postmarked on or before August 1st, or come to the tax collector office on the first floor of Town Hall to pay by check or cash. Window hours are 8:30 to 3:30 Monday through Friday. Any questions, call the tax collector office at 203-622-7891. That's 203-622-7891. Every Tuesday morning at 9, the curtain goes up on Center Stage with Pamela Kuhn, focusing on arts and entertainment. Pamela searches for the artist's creative journey and interviews guests ranging from singers, musicians, dancers, actors, visual artists, and authors. It's the show about the artists and their craft and the personal stories that make up their incredible lives. That's Center Stage every Tuesday morning at 9 on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
What's on your mind?
Lisa wants to know. Call 203-661-5051 and join the conversation. It's the Lisa Wexler Show.
Okay, so remember, there's a dog flu going around, and there are two vaccinations for it. Vets say it's very important, but your animal could already be sick with the flu. Let me see what the, what are some of the symptoms here? Oh, if your dog is coughing, sneezing, those are symptoms of dog flu. And it also says, because your dog may not be in contact with other dogs doesn't mean it won't contract the flu. I guess we think about flu coming in the winter, but not so for dogs. People who are around dogs can bring the flu home in their shoes and clothing. Avoiding dog parks, pet stores, and facilities with confirmed flu cases is a good idea right now. This vet says we're doing curbside appointments for vaccinations. Or if they're sick, we're not turning sick animals away. We spray ourselves down with a biocide that kills the viruses and the whole building is treated. We're here to help. The incubation period is 2 to 4 days after exposure to an infected animal. Dogs are most contagious before they start showing any symptoms and the virus is still incubating. Symptoms can range from a mild cough to pneumonia. If your dog is acting sick, call your vet ASAP. And dog flu is spread by dog-to-dog contact on dog parks, pet stores, and daycare-type environments. It is also spread by any respiratory secretions left behind from a cough or sneeze in any area frequented by dogs, such as glass doors, like those nose prints they leave, elevators, even humans petting an infected dog and then petting their own dog. I'm always petting everybody. The virus is hardy. It can live up to 48 hours on hard, dry surfaces, but it is easily killed with hand washing and disinfectant. So if you are a hand washer, it will help to stop the spread of the disease. And there is no evidence that dog flu is contagious to people. But you know what? It can be really, really damaging to your dog. Meantime, Sugar had another episode. I mean, you know how cats are said to have 9 lives? I think Sugar's got 10. And I have to now spit, poo-poo, Kanahara. Poo-poo, bite my tongue. Because Saturday was a really bad day for Shugs. She couldn't hold anything down. She had that vomiting thing where everything came up and up and up. And on Saturday night, just more of it. All over the pillows, all over the sheets, all over the blankets. A little bit on me. Poor thing. 3 different times during the night. And if you say to me, well, why didn't I put her on the floor? You know what? It's the middle of the night. I feel sorry for my pet. I feel sorry for my Sugar. The poor thing is washed out. I'm always thinking, okay, well, she already vomited. She's not going to do it again. I'm wrong 3 times. By the time I get up Sunday morning, it's a situation. I have to wash everything. And I'm looking at my poor dog and I'm thinking, and I'm emailing Jeffrey Kay and Gary Lazarus, the 2 vets that are on call 24/7 for Sugar. And I'm saying to them, hey guys, here's my update on the Shugs. I don't know if this is the kidney, if this is a flare-up of IBD. She can't keep any food down. She couldn't keep rabbit down. She had no appetite for her meat. She had a little eggy. It came right up. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? I can never tell if it's so serious or if the dog is going to rally. Sure enough, Sunday morning. Oh, and I gave her 2 fluids. I gave her 200 cc's in the morning on Saturday and then 100 at night. I gave her more than usual. Normally she gets 200 a day. I gave her 300. So sure enough, she makes a liar out of me. The vets are emailing me back. She needs to come in for a shot of Serenia. We'll take care of it. And you know what happened on Sunday? She got up. I gave her in a little bit of margarine her medicine, so she took it by hand. The prednisone was fantastic for working up an appetite. I made her a scrambled egg, and I gave her a little bit of the rabbit and the venison, a teeny-eeny bit. But she took it by hand. You know, she ate it. It stayed down. And then when I wanted to go campaigning, she wanted to come. You know when your dog wants to come, they come to the door. They give you that look like, how could you leave me, Mommy? So I took her with me for 4 hours campaigning. She was mostly in the car, which was cool. A friend of mine was driving it, obviously, as I would run in and out of houses. But every now and then, she would press her nose to that glass window as if to say, Mom, what are you leaving me behind for? I need to go up the path and make the pitch for the vote. So she did. She came out of the car a few times, and every time she did, one time she ran up the path. Britta, my friend, was like, I can't believe what I just saw. Your dog just ran up the path. She's so valiant, that little thing. She's so valiant. She kept the food down the whole day, and this morning I took her with me to work. So do I know anything? I hope she continues to make a liar out of me all the time. I just want Sugar to keep making a liar out of me. She didn't need the Serenia. She's holding down the food. It's okay. I'm feeding her less until she's really ready to have more, but it's okay. 24 minutes after 5 o'clock. The Greenwich Free Press is reporting that on Thursday morning of last week, the Board of Selectmen voted unanimously not to pursue litigation concerning the Greenwich High School Cardinal Stadium lights. And since 2 weeks ago, the Planning and Zoning Department withdrew its proposal to add 30% floor area to educational institutions in downtown zones. That's a proposal that was withdrawn after there was great clamor that it was not a good idea. GHS is back to square one with, quote, limited opportunity to illuminate fields and nary an inch of FAR left to add team rooms, bathrooms, or locker rooms at Cardinal Stadium. On Friday morning here on this station, in the Ask the First Selectman radio show here at WGCH, Peter Tesi said a 2003 settlement had been a compromise between the town and the aggrieved party, who he did not mention by name, but the reference was to Bill Efros, a neighbor on Old Church Road whose property abuts Cardinal Field. Tesi said the 2003 agreement was originally signed off by the Board of Ed, Selectmen, and the P&Z, and that the Selectmen had recently retained Cohen and Wolf, attorneys who specialize in municipal and land use issues, for advice. The Selectmen voted unanimously not to pursue litigation, although it seemed for a time that momentum was building in that direction. But about a dozen people who spoke in favor of litigation last November at a special meeting at Central Middle School, Mr. Crowell was there, Rick Crowell, the lone resident, to say going straight to the legal route was premature. We need to respect the neighbors in the areas of Greenwich High who have concerns and haven't been able to speak in proper forms. You know, I suggest that this kind of thing is ripe for mediation. I think the kind of thing that we're talking about, a situation in which you have people that have true, understandable grievances on both sides, issues that are important. It's very important when you're the neighbor of a school to make sure that your quality of life is not impaired by overdevelopment or by lights that hit you in your den or by noise that obstructs your ability to sleep when you want to. That's very important. On the other hand, it's very important for a community to make sure that its public high school is able to accommodate sports and the interests of the people who attend the high school at that time. And there is always a balance of competing interests. So I'm suggesting that the town consider, Peter Tesi, if you're listening, I know that you are a regular listener, I suggest that you approach Mr. Efros and Mr. Efros and his counsel consider strongly attending a mediation. And by the way, you can be represented by counsel in mediation, but a mediation is not a trial. It's an opportunity to state your case without having to be interrupted by the rules of evidence, without having to worry that your statement is going to somehow be mischaracterized by a lawyer. It's really an opportunity for the parties to get in front of a neutral person with mediation skills who will attempt to find the common interests of everybody at the table. And if the mediator is creative, perhaps prod the parties toward a creative solution. One that may never be a perfect solution, but that is better than the alternative, which is expensive and protracted and ultimately litigation in which one party is an all winner and one party is an all loser. When you are in your own neighborhood and Greenwich High School is in a neighborhood, you don't want either party to be an all winner or an all loser. It's not in Greenwich's interests for Greenwich High School to be a bulldozer around the people that live in the neighborhood. And it's not in the interests of all of Greenwich for a few neighbors to hold up or blackmail, if you will, and I'm using that term very loosely, but to hold up the kind of progress that needs to be made in Greenwich schools as a whole. So it's not a good, it's this kind of litigation should not be one in which one is an all winner and one is an all loser. It is ripe. It is a perfect case to try mediation. And the thing about mediation is it's no harm, no foul. If mediation doesn't work, you can still go to court. Court doors are not closing. You're still there. But it's a temporary stay. It's an agreement to wait. It's an agreement to postpone. It is far less costly than litigation because of all the discovery and all the things and depositions and production and documents. In my view, and I am a mediator by training and a mediator by profession and someone out there doing mediation in the probate court system, I highly recommend to you in Greenwich who are listening to me today to consider mediating this long protracted battle about what's going to happen in the fields and what's going to happen with Lumination and Lights. And I know that you already have this 2003 agreement, but for whatever reason, that agreement is no longer working for one party. And so to keep litigating that agreement and the enforcement ability of that agreement, you know, it just may not be in everybody's interest. So that's my suggestion. You can always go back to litigation table. You're no harm, no foul. It's 531-203-661-5051. I'm Lisa Wexler, 203-661-5051.
Good evening. There's an accident north on the Connecticut Turnpike in the Stamford area. A lot of traffic from Greenwich through Stamford. That continues up through Fairfield. Travel time northbound from the state line up to Route 7 in Norwalk is about 42 minutes. Travel time north on the Merritt Parkway from the state line to Route 7, 25 minutes. Every child full of potential, but poverty will steal that. Go to compassion.com/radio to sponsor a child now. I'm Jay Trelase, 1490 Traffic Center.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Mostly cloudy for tonight. Some fog developing late, lows in the mid-60s. Tomorrow, limited sunshine and more humid. An isolated afternoon showers, 78 to 83. Occasional rain showers, humid tomorrow night, lows 70 to 75. And scattered showers and storms arrive by Wednesday. At Connecticut Basement Systems, they're the experts in all things basement-y. Just give them a call at 866-691-8595. I'm meteorologist Ryan Gallagher on 1490 WGCH.
Are you looking to cut costs without sacrificing quality? If so, Onboard Services is waiting for you. Onboard Services takes the administrative hassle of running a business off your hands. From payroll to benefit plans, hiring, and outplacement, Onboard does it all. Onboard has trained specialists to provide your organization with employees based on the skill sets you desire. A family-run business for over 40 years, including clientele among Fortune 400 companies, Onboard is experienced in over 100 disciplines. For temporary and long-term help, or if you just want to save money without dismissing your current employees, do what the experts do. Call Onboard Services right now. Call 609-945-8009. That's 609-945-8009 or on the web at www.obcc.net. For a special offer, mention WGCH. Take the hassle out of running your business so you can concentrate on the bottom line. Call Onboard Services today.
Hi, I'm radio host and food writer Kate of Intoxicate.com. If you're always on the hunt for the new local hotspot, tune into my show, Fork This with Intoxicate, Tuesday evenings at 6 p.m. I'll be chatting with local chefs, cookbook authors, mixologists, brewmasters, and more. Everything to tantalize those taste buds. Tune in to Fork This with Intoxicate every Tuesday night from 6 to 7 p.m. on 1490 WGCH.
Stimulation for your brain.
It's the Lisa Wexler Show.
And welcome back to the Lisa Wexler Show. It's 534. 203-661-5051 is our number. I do hope you're going to be part of this really important conversation and that it may trigger, you may be one of the comments. There were over 1,825 comments that were written. Kim Brooks, who identifies herself as a writer, started by talking about, she wrote this from Chicago. She said, I was on my way home from dropping my kids off at preschool when a police officer called to ask if I was aware that there was an outstanding warrant for my arrest. No, I told him I didn't know that. I needed to call my husband, but my fingers were shaking. I don't remember if I was crying when he answered, only that he was saying he couldn't understand me. I needed to calm down to tell him what had happened. And what happened began over a year ago. In March of 2011, at the end of a visit with my parents in Virginia, I needed to run an errand before our flight home to Chicago. My son, who was then 4 years old, didn't want to get out of the car. Okay, all parents now, raise your hands when you remember that happening to you. Come on, I said, no, I wait here. I took a deep breath. I knew what I was supposed to do, but I was tired. I was late. I didn't want at that moment to deal with a meltdown. And there was something else, a small, quiet voice I'd been hearing more and more lately. Why? The voice asked. Why did I have to fight this battle? He wasn't asking to rollerblade in traffic. He just wanted to sit in the car. Why couldn't I leave him just this once? If it had been warm out, I would have said no. I knew about how quickly a closed car can overheat, even on a 60-degree day. But it was cool and cloudy. I'd grown up in that same town in the 1980s and had spent hours waiting in the back seat of my parents' station wagon, windows open, reading or daydreaming while they ran errands. Had so much really changed since then? So I told him I'd be right back. I cracked the windows, child locked the doors, set the alarm, and when I got back 5 minutes later, he was still playing his game, smiling. We picked up his sister, our suitcases, and caught our flight home. It took me a while to figure out what had taken place in the parking lot. A stranger had watched me go into the store, recorded my son, recorded the license plate on my mother's car, and called 911. So when our flight landed in Chicago, there was a message on my phone. I'm trying to get a hold of Mrs. Kimberly A. Brooks. I need to speak with Mrs. Brooks about an incident this afternoon in a parking lot. So, and this woman is a lawyer, and it goes on to talk about exactly what happened and how many other mothers have been arrested for similar incidents. Lenore Skenazy was on our show maybe over 10 years ago. She wrote a book called Free Range Kids. I loved it. She lives in New York City with her kids, and at that time, she had the radical proposition that her 8-year-old should be able to take the subway on his own. And for that, she felt shamed by a society that did not want to see kids be on their own. Well, I think it's fair to say, Lenore, that the atmosphere in America has gotten a lot worse than it was when you first started writing about free-range kids. There are now more and more laws designed to protect children from apparently negligent parents, including parents who dare to let their kids even walk to school alone during the day. Lenore Skenazy, welcome back to the Lisa Wexler Show. Hi.
Well, thank you, Lisa Wexler. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Oh, I have so many things I want to say. First of all, I loved that article so much. Secondly, when Kim was arrested, all her friends said, go call Lenore Skenazy. This is all she writes about. She's so mad when people get arrested for letting their kids wait in the car while they run an errand, which is true. I am, because there's the most dangerous thing Kim did that day was to drive her kid to the mall. Letting her wait in the car for 5 minutes was really extremely safe. And the number one way kids die is as car passengers when the car is moving. So why do we arrest the parents who let their kids do something that is statistically safe? And we don't get mad at parents for doing something that is statistically a little less safe. And I think it has a lot to do with just an inflated idea that the minute we take our eyes off our children, somehow they are in danger. But if we're with our kids, we're demonstrating that we care and that we love them. And anything bad that happens, it gets a pass because we were good parents. And the whole idea has become that the only good parent is a parent who is with their kids, Velcroed to them 24/7. And to give your kids any kind of independence, be out of a choice because you want them to play outside, or necessity, you need them to wait in the car while you run an errand, whatever it is, somehow that independence away from you makes you a bad parent and you must be shamed or thrown in jail. But I did want to say, and I know I'm rattling on, just the laws, you know, I do think in some sense that we are less tolerant of independent or parents who give their kids independence today. But there was a great law passed just in March in Utah called the Free Range Parenting Law that says it is not illegal. It is not negligence if a parent lets a kid walk to school, play outside, wait briefly in a car under some circumstances, just like Kim, or come home with a latchkey. So that was a state that just got fed up with the idea that parents are going to be second-guessed for making the seat-of-the-pants parenting decisions they make 10 times a day. You know, can I run into the store? Can I have him walk home? I'm running late. Can I have him go get his sister? All those decisions should be up to the parent, and it shouldn't be that some passerby, like whoever it was that filmed Kim's kid in the car, is more, is taken to, is trusted more, oh, they know that that child is negligent, more than a parent who has made a decision to raise their kid a certain way or to do something a certain way. So you don't want the passersby, the busy bodies, to decide how we parent, and you certainly don't want some cop saying, well, they could have been, kidnapped, or, you know, a giant yak might have come along and broken through the window. You don't want people to arrest parents for making rational decisions simply because they weren't coming up with fantastical, scary scenarios that the cops are coming up with and that the busybodies are coming up with.
You know, a few years ago, we're chatting with Lenore Scanese, 203-661-5051, and you're welcome to weigh in on this. See if it provokes a feeling in you or a comment either way. 203-661-5051. It was a while ago. I had a friend who was, mm-hmm. I mean, she might have, you know, won a, she was a former kindergarten teacher. There's no question that she could have been a mother of the year. I mean, she was a loving, mm-hmm. devoted, wonderful mother. But she got mm-hmm. arrested in Norwalk, Connecticut, mm-hmm. In our area. She got arrested. Mm-hmm. Her 8 or 9 or 10-year-old, somewhere in there. She had She had left alone in a car to go to CVS. Okay. She was gone about 12 minutes, maybe 15. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't a hot day with a closed window, because if it's a hot day,
right.
That's a whole different situation. We all know that, right? So mm-hmm. we know that mm-hmm. hot days, closed windows, or toddlers stuck in, in car seats, that's a whole different situation. That could be obvious negligence, and you got to call somebody to open that window. So we're not counting something that is obviously bad. But anyway, mm-hmm. her 8 or 9-year-old was just in the car and perfectly fine. But somebody mm-hmm. called, because there is a statute in Connecticut that says, I believe they have to be 12, which is, I mean, I was babysitting
that's
at 12.
Crazy.
And
that's
she was arrested. Crazy. She was arrested,
oh, I'm
and
so
she
sorry.
Had to prove that she was a fit mother. This was a long time ago. I ended up writing a recommendation for her because
yay.
I am a lawyer. Oh, yes. And I'm a friend. Mm-hmm. And I wrote a beautiful mm-hmm, letter mm-hmm. of recommendation to help her get accelerated rehab, because otherwise she was going to get this terrible record of abuse and neglect. And yes, DCF was called. And I mean, it was really a very trying, horrible time for the family.
And let's think also why somebody would call. First of all, they must believe that the child is in danger, or that the parent is extremely negligent for not recognizing the horrible danger to the kid.
That's right.
But really, in a car with a kid waiting, the danger is that they're forgotten. That's how the kids die. They don't die while mom is getting something from CVS, or a mother is, you know, picking up the pizza, or a dad is getting the dry cleaning. It's when they're forgotten. So if you see a kid in the parking lot of IBM, where clearly somebody has gone into work and forgotten that the child is there, oh my God, break the glass, call 911, hurry. But if it's a kid in the CVS parking lot and you're worried, stand there for a few minutes. You're
that's
a good
right.
Samaritan.
Right.
Don't open a federal case on this person. Don't have CPS come start looking through their drawers to see if, you know, do they have the right food in the refrigerator. Stand there and be a good Samaritan. Make sure that the parent is coming back, because they will be, because that's why it's an errand. It's not that they've gone to work for the day. I'm not going to go into the dry cleaner and decide, I never learned how to dry clean. Maybe I should start learning how to run the press and come out 10 hours later. That's not going to happen. So let's not conflate an actual danger with a danger that we're just sort of making up in our heads. And yet that's what Kim was dealing with. I mean, literally she was in the store for 5 minutes. So if the lady had waited, she would have seen Kim come out. Maybe she did see her come out, but thought, haha, I'm going to teach you a lesson, because this idea that if you're not watching your kid literally every second, somehow you're bad. And,
yeah.
and that's not true. I think somehow you're good if you give your kids some independence, some chance to walk to school, some chance to run an errand for you, to be a productive member of your family instead of just you doing everything for them. Kids want to be part of the world, and they want to be responsible and, you know, not just a taker, but a giver. And we're almost not allowed to let them. You know, we want to let them go and walk to the store and pick up the bread for us. And yet to be afraid that this is going to be considered negligence is crazy, which is why I have to say, in your neck of the woods,
mm-hmm.
the town of Wilton, Connecticut, has been looking into this. They're very worried about They did a study recently, and they found that there's a lot of anxiety among the kids there, which doesn't surprise me because it's an affluent place. And, you know, there's a lot of sort of school pressure on kids and a lot of performance pressure. And there's not a lot of downtime, and there's not a lot of being able to do something that isn't school or resume oriented. And so they realized what our kids need is almost a little bit more of an old-fashioned childhood where they can play outside and the mom is not going to get arrested and the kid is not going to be yelled at, where's your parent? And maybe they have an afternoon free instead of going to Kumon. And if you give kids this chance to breathe and to create and to play and to make their own fun and to get out of some scrapes,
And to have some scrapes.
Right. So really, Wilton has been doing this amazing job of looking into what is it that combats anxiety. And anxiety comes from when you feel like you have no control over your life, right?
That's
you have a
right.
horrible boss. They're micromanaging that's right. you. Well, that's what it means to go to school, and there's the grades and there's the quizzes and your parents hear immediately how you're doing, and then after school you're taken to lacrosse and it's travel lacrosse and you got to go for 30 minutes and then you play and then somebody's watching you the whole time, and then you go to your violin lesson and then you come home and there's homework and somebody's watching you. And so what they want to do is give kids some freedom, and to do it you have to have a community doing this. You have to have a community that
that's right
on our rest.
You do.
The mom who lets her kid play outside, and we see a kid outside, we're not going to assume they're neglected. We're going to say, you need anything? Do you know where you're going? Yes. And so they've done cool things. They started committees in their town to work on this issue. They had block parties this summer. They've already had 800 people go to block parties, because the more you know your neighbors, the more
that's great. We used to have them every. I actually organized them on my street years ago when my kids were little. We had tug of wars on our street. We had block parties.
Oh,
we had a whole
God.
Thing. Oh yeah, and I really
love a tug of war. Wow.
Oh, it was fantastic. And and there was one guy who used to take on the whole neighborhood, a former Marine. He said, "Everybody get on the other side. I'm going to take you all on." Oh, he was a riot. He was so funny.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Who won?
Well, you know, he did pretty much. He was unbelievable.
Yeah,
but anyway, but it was really fun. But, you know, now my oldest is 31 and my younger one is 25. When my 31-year-old was growing up, I was among a group of mothers. We were all like from Long Island and Jersey, Lenore. We're chatting with Lenore Skenazy.
Yeah.
And we all grew up in very sort of dense suburban districts. And we all lived in each other's houses, like as neighbors. I mean,
yeah.
we always, and so
yeah.
that's
yeah.
what we knew. So we let our kids right. live in each other's houses. Fast forward 10 years later, a good friend of mine moved on the block with her generation of kids. And all of a sudden it was, you had to knock on the door for a play date.
Mm-hmm.
And even she was afraid. This is a perfect example. Okay, my trampoline had no net. Her trampoline had a net. That's it.
That's the emblem.
Okay, I figured if my kid wanted to go on the trampoline, or I did, frankly, I love jumping on that trampoline, the whole experience was to not have a net. You know, if I was going to fall, I'll fall. So what? Maybe I'll even injure myself and I'll have to go to a doctor, but that's part of growing up too. And and there was no net, but by the time 10 years later, you couldn't have a trampoline without a net. And who wants to jump on a trampoline with a net? It's like gross. It's like mosquito netting around you. Where's the fun in that? You can't fall off. Where's the fun?
Right. Well, the whole no net thing is really, you know, writ broader.
Right.
What you're talking about
right.
is sending kids outside without the mom, without the nanny cam following them,
right,
with a chance
the nanny
to
cam.
Be part of the world. And so I just want to put in a plug for two programs that we started doing in schools that I'd love to see in the Greenwich schools and the Westport schools and the Wilton and the Weston schools, and it is spreading. And one is called the Let Grow Project, and it's so simple you're going to laugh. It's the teachers tell the kids to go home and ask their parents if they can do one thing on their own. You know, can I please ride my bike to a friend's house, make dinner, walk the dog. And it is amazing the power of one independent afternoon, because when the kid comes back, like when my kid came back from the subway ride,
yeah.
and he comes through the door and he's levitating, he's so
right.
proud, he
so
just
happy.
Can't believe he did something on his own and that we believed in him enough to let him do something on his own. Your fear gets replaced by this surge of
confidence and confidence and confidence and confidence is the antidote to anxiety. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And it is so much easier to say yes the next time.
That's
because
right.
It's like, it's just normal now. You're instead of thinking what can't they do, you're thinking what can they do. So I would highly urge anybody who is on a PTA or involved with their school or who's a teacher or a principal to go to letgrow.org. It's not let them go. It's letgrow.
G-R-O-W. Okay.
That's it. And if you click on the thing that says schools, it says the Let Grow Project. And also, I think, just write to me. I mean, there's an info@letgrow.org or whatever. Write to me, and I'm happy to talk to you personally on the phone. I'll talk to your principal. I'll talk to the teachers because I so believe in this project. And I haven't seen anything that changes parents or communities as quickly or as effectively because for 10 years I've been giving lectures about how did we get so afraid for our kids. We all grew up with the trampoline without the net. Now there's not even a trampoline anymore. What happened? And people understand that something gigantic has happened to the point where we would arrest Kim Brooks for letting her kid wait in the car for 5 minutes on a cool day with the windows cracked. So what has happened? I talk about it, and everybody goes, oh, yeah, it's so sad. I wish I could give my kids back an old-fashioned childhood. But it's only with a project like the Let Grow Project that people actually have a way to start. Because if you're trying to do it yourself and you send your kid outside and there's nobody there for him to play with, he's back in 5 minutes.
That's right.
You know, it's
that's right. It's got to be a community. You're right. Yes.
Right. So there's the Let Grow Project, and then there's also the Let Grow Play Club, which is just schools stay open after school for free play. You know, they have chess in one room, they have crocheting in another room, they have Chinese in 7 rooms. But in the back, in the playground, there's one class, and you could call it the social-emotional learning class or the independence class. It's just free play. People don't, you know, the adults don't interfere. The kids decide, you know, this group is playing with chalk and this group is throwing around a football. And it's as close as we can come to what you were talking about, your Jersey Long Island childhood of kids just having fun on their own and making things happen and solving their own arguments. And in the process, learning the skills of compromise, communication, sympathy, empathy, creativity that we want to see in them that they don't get when adults are telling them, you're doing it this way, and now it's your turn, and that ball was out, and let's have a snack. Because when adults are running an activity, which they are in almost all the after-school
activities. It's disgusting. It's horrible.
Disgusting. Right. So, but it's not, you learn how to hit a ball, you learn how to kick a ball. Learn how to throw a ball in one of those little net things, but you're not learning how to decide if the ball was in or out because some adult is doing that.
Well, Lenora,
and that is a crucial thing.
It is, and I have to tell you, then I got to run, but I want to say that I do see the thread between a philosophy of a childhood in which you assume the childhood is so vulnerable that they need elbow pads on training wheels to the fragility of adolescence to our rates of attempted suicide and cutting and all of these things. I do see the line. More and more studies showing that our young people are growing up with such anxiety and such feelings of fear and fragility. And that's because of a society that is raising them to be afraid and think of themselves as fragile.
Right. If you tell kids that nothing's safe, eventually they believe you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, right. And obviously, you know, you want to find a happy medium. Everyone knows the strengths and weaknesses of their own child. Nobody is preaching to allow your child to do something that you know that individual child is incapable of
doing.
Not
ready for.
Right.
Agreed.
But we know our own children, and we know when they're ready. So, there it is. Okay.
Right.
All
Right on. And that's why I just have to say, first of all, thank you for letting me talk about this. And also, how cool of Wilton.
To stare
down anxiety and say, okay, we're not going to ignore this. What can we do? How can we make kids not feel fragile, not want to hurt themselves? I think we got to give them a little autonomy. How do we do it? We have to encourage parents to let grow, because that's hard. And then we have to have a town or a state that says, we're not going to hound the parents who do this. We're going to support them because we want to see independent, happy, well-adjusted kids.
Yeah, I think it's great. It's good to know. It's right on the border. I literally, two houses on my street are in Wilton, so I know the town very well. It's where I do all my shopping. And so I know it very well, so I'm very glad to hear that they have started this pilot program. I do hope it spreads. Lenore Scanese, Free Range Kids, thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you, Lisa. Bye-bye.
It's a pleasure. 6 minutes before the hour, let's go to weather and traffic at 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Good evening. We're looking at a busy ride on the Turnpike. 46-minute trip northbound on the Connecticut Turnpike from the state line to Route 7. And same ride north on the Merritt Parkway from the state line to Route 7, about a 25-minute trip. Sponsoring a child with compassion is the most effective way to end extreme child poverty. Sponsor a child now at compassion.com/radio. I'm Jay Trelease in the 1490 WGCH Traffic Center.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Considerable cloudiness tonight, some fog developing late, lows 63 to 68. Tomorrow, clouds with limited sunshine, more humid, an isolated shower in the afternoon, highs 78 to 83. Occasional showers, humid tomorrow night, lows in the low 70s. Wednesday, scattered showers and thunderstorms, storms with heavy downpours, highs in the low 80s. More showers and storms, locally heavy rain near 85 Thursday. I'm meteorologist Ryan Gallagher on 1490 WGCH.
This is Margaret Walsh of Greenwich Library. Join us for the Main Library's Children's Summer Reading Finale when the Poetry in Motion crew presents Hip Hop Dimensions. The Poetry in Motion crew has been entertaining audiences since 2001. They use music and dance to promote positive aspects of living, such as making healthy choices and treating each other with respect. Prepare yourself to be taken on an exciting journey of pure hip-hop dance. This event is taking place on Saturday, August 4th at 11 a.m. in the Cole Auditorium. Door prizes and refreshments will follow the performance. No tickets are needed and doors will open at 10:45. Summer reading finales will also be taking place at the Kos Cobb and Byram Schubert Libraries, so check out our events calendar for all the details. For more information, please call the children's room at 622-7940. I'm Margaret Wallace of Greenwich Library on 1490 WGCH.
This is Noreen Ehrlich, Success and Relationship Coach. Your time is precious. It is time to stop hiding and start hustling. What does that mean, you say? Please join me every Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. for Defy and Hustle with Noreen Ehrlich, when I'll approach your everyday issues with wise but uncommon sense. You don't have to settle. I want you to be in love with your life. Are you ready? Then join me Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. on 1490 WGCH.
Your radio is on.
Now it's time to turn your brain on.
It's the Lisa Wexler Show.
Conversations about today's hottest topics, issues, and events.
Now, here's Lisa Wexler.
Scientists have spotted a never-before-seen dolphin-whale hybrid near Hawaii's coast, according to Science Alert. The mammal's father was a rough-toothed dolphin. Its mother was a melon-headed whale, which is actually a species of dolphin. Researchers from the Cascadia Research Collective first saw the animal in 2017. They collected a skin sample. I wonder how they did that. And used genetic analysis to determine its parentage. Previously found dolphin hybrids include a half beluga, half narwhal, and the offspring of a false killer whale and bottlenose dolphin. It is not known whether this new breed is a new species, as it remains unclear whether it can reproduce. And speaking of animals, I will just leave you with this. It was a terribly sad story. You might have seen it already on the internet, about a magnificent polar bear that was killed by a German who was on a cruise ship of tourists that were touring the Arctic Circle. And maybe we ought to rethink whether or not we bring humans to the Arctic Circle right now. The first report in was that somehow this bear was attacking somebody, but really the question is, did it need to be shot to death the way it was and left there? Is that what we're going to be doing now? We're the ones intruding on their habitat. It's not the other way around. They didn't come to New York City to say hello. We went to them. We need to leave them alone. It's 6 o'clock. I'm Lisa Wexler. It's a Monday. That means Jim Campbell comes right up with his wonderful show on forensics. And I'll be back behind the mic tomorrow on a Tuesday. Thanks for joining us today here at 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
The voice of Greenwich. This is 1490 WGCH Greenwich.
Wildfires, police shooting decision. I'm Ann Cates. The car fire in Northern California has scorched almost 100,000 acres and destroyed more than 700 homes, with the death toll at 6 and 7 people still missing. Correspondent Jim Roop reports it's just one of many blazes in the state right now.